Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's a national sports columnist for USA Today. Very happy to have Dan Wolkin with us. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing all right. How about you? You holding up okay?
Yeah, I mean, just getting by the kind of the way everyone is in this world of uncertainty right now. But I can't complain, all things considered.
All right. Well, that is good. And we know you've been busy working and still doing what you do, and we appreciate that. One thing you've been touching on quite a bit lately is something that we haven't talked a whole lot about, and that's college football and where it might be heading because of the virus and everything that's going on with it. Spring football practices obviously have been shut down and players sent home and everything else, and it changes the landscape. What are you hearing from college coaches and the folks you talk to in the NCAA about where things are now with college football and where they might be come August and September?
Well, the problem with the whole discussion is nobody involved in college sports has any control over what the situation is going to be with the coronavirus. And we don't really know. I mean, there's all obviously different models of what might happen. And certainly a lot of the outcomes depend on just human behavior. You know, how effective are the measures of social distancing and shelter in place and all the things that we're being encouraged to do as a society? Of course, it's not been consistent all over the country. There's been talk about, you know, people going back to work soon. But, you know, the bottom line is until the coronavirus situation levels off and starts to go the other way, when is it going to be safe to play football? What is the acceptable level of cases in various spots around the country? Like, these are all questions that are totally unknown. I think the goal would be for college athletics would be that at some point in the summer, you know, June, July, whatever, that it's okay for teams to go back to their campuses, do an OTA mini camp kind of thing that would then get them ready physically, because everyone's going to be behind, get them ready for fall camp, and then you start the season on time. But what is the realistic chance of that happening? It's not 100, I'll tell you that. It's well below 100.
Hmm. Dan, let's just kind of talk about the NCAA in general, because you were ahead of the curve with the basketball stuff. And I think, and I can't remember who we were talking to, but somebody else had brought this up and just said, man, the NCAA just looked so discombobulated when those conference basketball tournaments were coming down, where there just wasn't one voice in the beginning. And you end up with, like, the Big East looking silly, and you look like, I mean, it just, it seems lawless at times. And I think maybe that's one of the things that we'll have learned from this epidemic, to where we move forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's tough. I think the NCAA that day or those days did not communicate close to well enough with the conferences about what was going on and the conference tournaments, who should play and who shouldn't. You know, the conferences run their own tournaments. The NCAA, I think, was more concerned about the bigger picture, but things were happening so fast. It was not a great look. I know a lot of the conference offices were upset with the NCAA, with Mark Emmert. I totally get that. I also understand from the NCAA's perspective, they were drinking from the fire hose at that particular point. They had a $1 billion event at stake, hanging in the balance, trying to figure out what to do, trying to figure out the insurance implications, the legal implications. So it was a mess. It was a cluster. And ultimately, With football, it's different because you've got conferences and the college football playoff that really run the football side. So who's there to make the call, right? That's the interesting question.
Right.
And I think it's the conferences collectively that are going to have to figure out what's safe, and also the college presidents. Because the other thing about this that people aren't really talking about, these college presidents have got to feel comfortable opening up their campuses to students to come back from all over the country and all over the world. So that makes it a little more complicated.
Dan Wilkins joining us from USA Today. Dan, can you see, and I can't, can you see college presidents doing that and saying, okay, we're going to allow our football team to come back, but students aren't allowed back? I mean, it's all or nothing, right?
I would think so. I mean, look, these are such unprecedented times, and this situation has absolutely no relationship to anything we've dealt with before, that I can't rule anything in or out. And, you know, when people say, well, you know, the season's got to be this or it's got to do that, I mean, look, the only thing I know is for these athletic departments all over the country, it is crucial to get most of that football revenue, or else you're looking at a very different world of college athletics. And I believe that there is going to be a willingness and a flexibility with regard to what the season looks like that maybe people haven't even comprehended yet. I mean, I can tell you one top 10 athletic department in the country has built a schedule for college football that begins in February. And now that's obviously a contingency where a lot of things would have to happen, but those are the kinds of conversations outside the box that are taking place because they have got to get this football season in if there's any possibility of doing it. So to rule anything in or out at this stage, I think is a little bit naive.
Let me throw this one at you because there's, you know, a lot of talk. Obviously, spring sports athletes, I think we all feel, deserve another year of eligibility. But then there are also basketball players and I'm sure hockey players and other winter sports athletes that probably think they deserve another year of eligibility. I don't know how the NCAA would be able to. I still wonder about the spring sport athletes too, and just as far as terms of having X amount of number of scholarships and knowing that you've got incoming high school seniors that have been promised scholarships, and you know, you got to think a lot of those are kind of, you know, they push forward, seniors move out, freshmen move in. Is there an answer? Is there an answer for that?
So on Monday, there's going to be a vote on that issue and how to handle it. There's a couple different proposals that are out there. One of them has essentially it freezes the scholarship limits for a year so that you can bring in the class that you were going to bring in and you would still be able to have your seniors on scholarship.
Okay.
That's one way to work with it. There's a few different proposals, but I'll be honest with you, just opinion on that is all over the map. And frankly, it's not as much of a slam dunk that'll pass as people think, because there are a lot of schools that simply they don't want their seniors to come back for a few reasons. One of them is just financial. I mean, the financial strain is going to be huge already for all these college campuses because of the revenue they're losing and the potential revenue they're losing. I mean, are 90,000 Ohio State fans going to want to go into the football stadium in September? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people are going to feel good about that, even if they have a chance, even if they have a green light. So people are going to lose revenue, and then you add another $500,000 or whatever to the budget in kids coming back. Not everyone's for that. So given that, I think the winter sports, the basketball, the hockey, whatever, I think that's almost going to be impossible to pass.
I wonder about the adjustment, though, with those spring sports guys. And it's, you know, the guys who have already played, obviously, you had your season. You know, you missed the NCAA tournament. All right, you had your season, but you missed your tournament. I just wonder if it's the other sports that get anything, and we'll see where that
goes.
Yeah,
I mean, look, it would stink if it doesn't pass for those kids. But, you know, seasons end prematurely for a lot of reasons. And
yeah.
I know what they in a perfect world what they want to do. I just think, you know, how much money are the schools going to be willing to spend on frankly, most of those scholarships are going to be in sports that bring in zero revenue. So, I don't know.
And see, there's the great point, because your revenue producers are already done with football and, you know, especially men's basketball. With that thought in mind, here's this television product that, you know, they've been putting, you know, college sports on television even more so, like absolute crazy. And you went back to your attendance thought on it, and I agree with that. But I wonder how quickly they try to get stuff back up and moving just so that they can produce television product again. You know, you have conferences like the Big Ten Network. They have their own networks. That there's a whole revenue stream that we haven't even touched on yet. I wonder how long they think they can keep rolling by rolling out, you know, best of, you know, the Big 12 game of the week.
I don't know. Yeah, it's unprecedented what's happened, and because of that, people are going to have to operate and audible in ways that they never thought of before. So the television part is huge. Obviously, those contracts are worth a lot of money, but at the same time, if schools don't get the ticket revenue, the gate, plus all the donations and all the things that go into the amount of money they make on live sports or on people watching live in person, I'm not sure that's financially viable for them either. It's a real difficult situation. But again, I mean, this isn't forever, right? I mean, this is a year that they may have to figure out some weird thing. The question is just, can they maintain for that year? And I don't know.
Hey, I'm curious, just your thoughts in general. No, you know, no matter what time it is, just on the whole transfer portal and how it's changed and how things have become much more looser on it, and you know, and your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll tell you this: I would hope that the situation we're in right now, that people maybe start to realize that some of those things like transfer portal and kids leaving and going somewhere else, like in the grand scheme of things, it ain't that big of a deal, right? I mean, the issues we're dealing with right now are so much bigger and more complicated than whether a kid is eligible right away or has to sit out. I think the NCAA was already moving to a free one-time transfer for everyone. It makes sense. It's fair. It is consistent, and it decreases the amount of bureaucracy in the whole NCAA eligibility business that I think would probably free everyone up a little bit more to focus on stuff that actually matters. So if anything, I think this crisis only gives more momentum to transfer portal and giving kids one free pass.
Dan, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate the insight into everything going on with the NCAA.
No problem. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.